Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to KMOX. It's Hancock and Kelly sitting in for Mark Reardon. Mark's not well today. Hopefully he'll be able to get better with a little bit of rest and be here in studio tomorrow for the Reardon Roundtable.
I think he'll be here, and I'm going to miss you, pal.
Why is that?
After you hit this $900 million Powerball.
Do you not play the lottery?
No, I don't play the lottery.
So we were just talking to somebody about it, and your chances of winning the lottery are, you know, you got a better chance of being eaten by a shark in the Lake of the Ozarks than you do winning the lottery. But to me, the $10 I spend on the lottery is worth the 10 minutes of dream that I have, you know, of what I would do with the money and how I would change the life of the people, lives of myself and the people that I love.
People like me, for example.
Buddy, you, if we are not here next week, you'll know that one of the two, well, you don't buy lottery tickets, so you'll know that we won the lottery and I've switched political parties because I'm going to be quite concerned about taxes if I have.
Yeah, I wonder what the taxes on $900 million.
Actually, no, most of the rich people in the world are Democrats. So
that is true.
Yeah, because they have a heart and they're using that money to make the lives better. Well, tonight, John Hancock,
yes,
is the only televised debate that's taking place in a Senate race that's going to cost $100 million. Think about that.
That's crazy.
The state of Missouri. Well, how many media markets are there in Missouri? Five?
Well, big ones. There's six, I think. But then you've got Ottumwa, Iowa, and Quincy, Hannibal.
Sure.
And so there's some smaller, tiny ones.
But I mean, $100 million to be spent in a Senate race. That one, that tells you how important the Senate race is for control of the United States Senate.
It is.
And two, the amount of national interest that's going on here. In fact, one of the moderators at tonight's debate is Judy Woodruff, who is a national a national news person. We also have Mike Bush from KSDK, and
yes,
Joe Manny's the former Post-Dispatch reporter.
She's with NPR now.
Who will be asking the questions tonight. If you're looking for Charlie Brennan tonight on Donnybrook, you ain't going to see him. You're going to be looking at Josh Hawley and Claire McCaskill.
Yeah, it's a debate, and I'm kind of surprised there hasn't been more promotion of this thing. It's kind of snuck up on me. I didn't realize it was taking place tonight. I knew it was happening, but I didn't know exactly when, and I hadn't seen a whole lot of promotion. It ought to be a humdinger, though, because these two don't like each other.
But there's no doubt about that, and just look at the $100 million worth of ads that are out there between the two of them. These are folks who don't like each other. It's also, you know, debates probably not as impactful in this election as it's been in the past. So you and I look at the polling on a regular basis.
Yep.
There's not many undecideds out there. It's we are entrenched on both of our sides, and this really is turning into a base vote election, just turning out your own folks, which is what campaigns typically switch to in the last 2 weeks of a campaign. You're done trying to persuade. Now it's making sure that Jenny and Joe and Bill, who are your supporters, are getting to the polls.
Yeah, and the only thing, you know, about a debate like this that you worry about if you're with a candidate is a gaffe. You know, somebody saying something that's just
like a legitimate rape.
Right. Having a bad moment and really spiraling their campaign. Both of these people, McCaskill certainly is seasoned, and Hawley is quite good on his feet. He's a lawyer. So I don't expect either one of them to make any kind of mistake, but I do think it may very well get heated at times. They've both gone after. I mean, they're calling each other liars and cheaters, and all of our campaigns have taken on kind of a tough tone. We were just talking about the tone in the last hour, but this one has really gotten personal.
And we've seen the polling as it relates to the last year or so. Let's say that's been the campaign cycle, although it's probably been going on a little longer than that. Where Claire McCaskill's up by a couple of points and Josh Hawley's up by a couple of points and then Claire McCaskill's back up by a couple of points. I haven't seen any polling as of this week. The most recent polling was after the Kavanaugh situation, which really invigorated the Republicans, knowing that the Democrats are already fired up. Saw a little swing, maybe a point or two for Josh Hawley. Mm-hmm. We're now in that slide to the election, or I wouldn't even call it a slide anymore. I'd call it an all-out sprint.
It is.
To the election.
Yeah, and, you know, my theory of these polling in these elections is that they'll go back and forth, and you'll have an uptick and a downtick and like that. But at some point before the election day, and sometimes it's a week out, sometimes it's two, three, it can be, but there's the final break. And right now, if we are living in the aftermath of the final break, then Josh Hawley is going to win this thing. If, however, it breaks back in McCaskill's direction between now and Election Day, then whoever is on the upswing of the final break wins these elections.
We spoke earlier today, and we could talk a little bit about it right now. In the midst of this, there's a couple of issues statewide that will be on the ballot that are considered to be progressive, right? We would say the minimum wage raise is a left-of-center issue. As is Clean Missouri and the whole redistricting and campaign finance reform, mainly supported by the left. I think you and I both think that those are likely to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that an interesting thought, that these are left-of-center motivating issues, yet we see polling that shows that, and they are going to win handily. I think we both might think that they're going to win by more than a couple of points, potentially. But yet we have a Senate race where those same people who are going to vote for progressive issues may, in fact, vote for an extremely conservative Republican.
Well, there's no question that's going to happen. And, you know, we just had in the August election the right to work thing on the ballot, and it overwhelmingly was on the pro-labor side, the vote.
A left-of-center issue.
Yeah. And
how do you rationalize that? What's going on?
You know, that's a great question. I think I don't know. One of the lessons that I learned over the Donald Trump election is that Americans are a lot less ideological than I thought they were. And certainly true of Republicans. I thought Republicans were, as a mass group, were strongly committed conservatives. Many are, but not all of them are. And so issues that I thought were, you know, the glue that held Republicans together, you know, didn't matter so much in the age of Donald Trump. And I think it's probably because the broader electorate out there is not monolithic ideologically. They kind of take a little from this and they take a little from that, and there's a lot of people, I think, that fall into that.
We're seeing, particularly on the left-hand side of the aisle, the Joe Bidens of the world are out there, who clearly motivates Democrats. We saw the Taylor Swift. Yeah. We've seen Michael Bloomberg. Lots of people getting out there to work up voters. I would anticipate we would likely see some of that stuff here in Missouri, even though both of these folks are trying to paint themselves a little more to the middle than maybe they really are.
Yeah.
Do you think it's likely that we may see the vice president or the president of the United States
back in? Yeah, I think Donald Trump, and I would expect if he comes back, we'll see him in southeast Missouri, down around Cape
Girardeau. Not where the people live, but down
where the Republican base, where we've got to turn out and have margins to win. A place like that, I think, is more likely than not that we'll see the president. Before we take a break, I want to get your thoughts on the U.S. Senate. How likely do you think the Democrats are to capture the U.S. Senate?
Extremely slim. I think you and I have talked about it, that if the Republicans, the Democrats got to win nearly everyone that's on the ballot, the Republicans just have to win three. And that's a tough task to do. And a base vote election, and you know the states that are out there, the Montanas, the West Virginias, these are not, you know, are not great Democratic states.
Well, West Virginia will go Democrat. Manchin, I think, is going to win.
You think he pulls it out?
He wins that, I think, easily.
Montana?
Montana's a coin toss at this point. I think North Dakota is done. I think Republicans are going to take that from Heidi Heitkamp.
Texas race wound up being a lot closer than it probably should be.
Yeah, but it's done. Cruz is up by 9. So there's two. Those two races, and so any one more, and right now we're trending very nicely in Tennessee. Florida race is a toss-up. The Montana race is a toss-up. Dean Heller's even made Nevada close, although I think the Democrats will win there. Arizona is going to be interesting. Martha McSally, the Republican, and Kristen Sinema, the Democrat. Sinema right now has a slight lead, so we'll see how that thing turns out. But I think it's more likely that Republicans add to their Senate majority. I think Hawley wins this one.
Tuesday, November the 6th is the election night. There's a Blues game that night.
Yep.
But following the Blues game, Hancock and Kelly will be here in studio. We'll
breaking
be giving
it
you
down.
All the numbers of what's going to happen. Keeping an eye on the United States House, I think we're both thinking that the Democrats are liable to have big pickups there. It's just the question of how sizable their lead will wind up being in the United States House. And then we'll be watching. We may know fairly early whether or not the Democrats have a prayer of even getting within a whisker in the United States.
Yeah, I think that's right. When we come back, we're going to tackle these ballot issues for you. The Clean Missouri initiative that's out there, the transportation tax, three pot amendments are going to be on the ballot, and the minimum wage as well statewide. We'll break those down and give you our thoughts and perspectives after this on KMOX.
St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1120 KMOX and KMOX.com.
Hey, it's Hancock and Kelly, and you're just a couple of weeks away from Election Day. And there's some ballot initiatives that will be on the statewide ballot that we thought we'd dive into today to talk a little bit about. The one that probably will get the most attention right now is Prop D. You just heard a commercial from them. It relates to raising the gas tax, John Hancock. The measure raises the gas tax incrementally over the next 4 years until it reaches 27 cents a gallon here in the state of Missouri. Currently, it's a 17-cent gas tax.
You are correct, sir.
The state of Missouri hasn't passed a tax increase statewide since the early
90s. 1992. It was a gas tax.
We've watched Governor Parson and Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe both really putting their political credibility on the line, going out and telling Missourians this is an important investment that we need to make in our state to, one, fix a lot of the transportation issues we have and to fix our infrastructure to be able to attract more jobs. That will be on the ballot, John Hancock. I haven't really seen much of a funded opposition against it.
There is
you?
None. No, there is no funded opposition. Always difficult to pass a tax increase. There have been some people who have expressed, you know, concern that whenever you pass a highway funding bill, that a portion of it goes to fund the highway patrol. Well, that's in the state constitution. There's nothing right. we can do about that. And but the polling I have seen on this has not been particularly strong in favor of the gas tax. Now, that may change with all the advertising as people get closer to the election and focus on it more. You know, where I come down on this is infrastructure is one of the things that it is inarguably a role of government. You know, there's lots of things government does that it oughtn't to be in. But infrastructure is one thing that is absolutely imperative. And part of state generating gas tax revenue is to draw down federal monies from the federal formula that was passed back when our own Kit Bond was serving in the United States Senate. And he made that formula in such a way that Missouri, for the first time ever, became a beneficiary of federal money. It used to be we spent more in the federal gas tax to the Washington than we got back. Well, that's no longer the case.
Right.
And in order to draw down the maximum amount of those funds, you've got to be able to match, have the state match. And part of the rationale for this is, yes, this is going to generate a lot of money, but it's going to really have access to a much greater sum of money to address real and crippling infrastructure.
What's unique about this is we've seen past attempts, but it's usually been done through a signature gathering process and been headed by business organizations right. who are dying to fix the roads and infrastructure, primarily here in the two metro areas, St. Louis and Kansas City, always leading the way on this issue. We're seeing the governor and the lieutenant governor, Republicans, really stepping out of their typical swim lane and being out there in support of it. I personally will be voting for it. I mean, look, anybody who can sit and drive on these roads, and many of you are probably getting ready or have already started your commutes home, we don't need to tell you about the need for investment in our local and statewide roads.
Well, here's one where you and I are in agreement. I'm going to vote for it as well. I think it's necessary. And, you know, does it pass? What do you think?
Potentially, yes. I think if Claire McCaskill wins, it definitely passes because I think it will be primarily supported by the urban areas.
Well, we'll see. I think it's going to pass. And if it does pass, Mike Parson is going to be owed a huge debt of gratitude. That'll be a major win for him.
We also have on the ballot minimum wage. Now, minimum wage has been a controversial subject here, particularly in the St. Louis area.
Yes.
As we saw the St. Louis Board of Aldermen and elected officials here try to raise the state or the city's minimum wage.
Right.
Look, there's no doubt about it that we need to raise the minimum wage. While I appreciated what was being attempted in the city of St. Louis, it puts the city of St. Louis at a competitive disadvantage to the surrounding counties. This is the way that we ought to raise the minimum wage. This is a far more measured approach than what's being pushed in other states that is, you know, $15 overnight. This is an incremental raise in the minimum wage that's tied to the consumer price index and a bunch of other stuff and takes it up in a far more rational way. It's an extremely popular measure. Yet again, I have not seen a funded opposition to it.
That's correct. Yeah, there is no funded opposition to it, and it's going to pass. And I think, you know, principally, I think the minimum wage laws are not good. I don't think they actually help the people they're intending to help, because when the wage rate reaches a certain point, people who provide a value less than the minimum wage to an employer don't get hired, and it's basic economics. So you know, the people you're purporting to help, I don't think are helped by this. And people that provide greater value to their employers, guess what? They don't make the minimum wage.
When people who make the minimum wage make more money, they spend it. And people who are capitalists ought to like the fact that there's more money out there in the pockets of people who are going to spend it. I'm voting for it, and it's going to pass.
We're going to put some money in your pocket right now.
Now, your chance to win with the $1,000 Cash Harvest Giveaway on KMOX.
This hour's keyword in the $1,000 Fall Cash Harvest is groovy.
Hey now.
G-R-O-O-V-Y. There's no E
feeling
in groovy.
Groovy.
Text groovy to 72881 by the end of the hour. Message data
groovy,
rates may
baby.
Apply. Groovy. Don't text and drive. For rules, visit KMOX.com. One randomly selected nationwide entrant will win $1,000, brought to you by WeFixMoney.com. Need emergency cash? Check out WeFixMoney.com for more.
Three other statewide initiatives. One, I think, is a constitutional amendment. Two are initiatives that will be on the ballot as it relates to medical marijuana. We've seen medical marijuana being legalized in increasingly amounts of states. We've seen recreational marijuana legalized in California,
but that's not
Washington,
on the Missouri
Colorado.
Ballot.
No, but the marijuana movement is coming. And Missouri is looking at these medical marijuana initiatives. To be honest with you, I don't know the particulars of all of them. They essentially accomplish the same ends.
Right.
There's different administrative means as to way they should be executed. Now, this is interesting. We're not seeing a real funded for or against on this. The polling I've seen, John, is positive probably for all three of these initiatives. I think they're all three going to pass. It will be interesting to see which one gets the most votes.
Yes, it will indeed. The other thing, and man, we're short on time, and I kind of wanted to get into this whole Clean Missouri thing.
Right.
It is, you know, wrapped in the cloak of ethics reform, which is, you know, not needed. But anyway, you know, you got all these campaign limits, and you can't buy a lobbyist gift for more than $5 and all, you know, whatever. What it really is a radical departure in the way we draw district lines in the state. Maybe we could save that and come back
tomorrow morning.
After the news, I'm thinking, because I want to kind of get into this, and I know you and I have a difference of opinion on this Clean Missouri thing. It might be interesting for the people to hear us out on that.
There's no doubt about it. We got to step aside and pay some bills, and boy, it's almost time for the news.
It is almost time for the news. So a Clean Missouri when we come back, and also, there's a story out of Los Angeles.
You've got to be kidding me.
There's a football team in Los Angeles that may be leaving Los Angeles. We're going to talk about all of these great things when we return after this on KMOX.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This Saturday night, the Blues rekindle an old Norris Division rivalry as they head to Toronto for a Hockey Night in Canada battle with the Maple Leafs. Face-off at 6, pregame at 5:30, on your home for St. Louis Blues hockey, KMOX.
Welcome back. John Hancock and Michael Kelly in for the under-the-weather Mark Reardon, who we expect will be back here tomorrow to host his Friday Reardon Roundtable and the rest of his show, excellent program here on The Voice of St. Louis.
Yeah, we'll be here tomorrow from 8:30 to 11.
That's right.
For Charlie Brennan, as we are every Friday. You can also see us on Sundays at 8:30 on Fox 2 here in St. Louis. Charlie Brennan will not be on Donnybrook tonight because they're going to have that debate, so we'll break that down tomorrow on the Charlie Brennan show as well. The debate, of course, between Attorney General Josh Hawley and incumbent United States Senator Claire McCaskill in the $100 million Senate race taking place right here in the state of Missouri.
Yeah, the most expensive political campaign in Missouri history to date. And that's what we're all living through right now. And the ads are nonstop. And they're quite brutal out there on both sides.
Yeah, a big left-of-center initiative that will be on the ballot is called Clean Missouri, yes, John, and it deals with a bunch of issues, a whole host of issues. And just to name a couple of them, one is to deal with curtailing lobbyist gifts in Jefferson City. Two is some campaign finance reform issues. Is related to redistricting and the way that we do the redistricting here in the state of Missouri. John and I right now are broadcasting from a House state rep district that's almost nearly 90% Democratic performing, meaning that 90% of the votes that are cast go towards the Democrat. There's not a Republican district in the state of Missouri that goes anywhere near that.
Correct.
And we Democrats know that Republicans like to pack us into the city to dilute our representation in Jefferson City, and this is one of the things. And this particular issue will allow us to draw more competitive districts that are far more reflective of what this state looks like when it comes to the statewide population.
Yeah, no. So right now, the redistricting process in Missouri is one of the fairest in the country. The two political parties submit a list of names to the governor. So the governor's not picking, you know, not real Democrats. It's the Democratic Party submits the names. The Republican Party submits the names. The governor picks five from each list. And a 10-member commission then is formed. And their job is to go draw legislative districts, state Senate seats and state House seats. You then need seven of those 10 members to agree to the map before the map is approved. So it will take a supermajority of those commissioners to adopt the map. And if they fail to do so, if they can't do so, then a three-judge panel of circuit court judges in the state are selected, and those three judges then draw the final map. That is an eminently fair process. What Clean Missouri would do is it takes redistricting out of the hands of this bipartisan commission and places it in, wait for this, the state auditor's office. Why? Well, the state auditor is the only Democratic elected official statewide. So they're putting redistricting in the state auditor's office. She then gets to pick the state demographer, whatever that means, and the state demographer is charged with drawing, quote, competitive districts. Well, here's what happens. Here's the plain reality of it. You're going to have districts that are going to potentially lose their communities of interest. Right now, Michael's correct, there are districts that are 90% Democratic because there are places that are 90% Democratic. What the Democrats want to do, and the reason Lacey Clay is opposing this, that's right, Lacey Clay is opposing this, is because there is a belief, and I think an accurate belief, that this will diminish the representation of African Americans in the legislature. How? Because instead of having districts that have a majority-minority population, which we have several now, they're going to take those densely Democratic areas and diffuse them into several different districts, thereby creating fewer majority-minority districts, but more districts that are Democratic as opposed to Republican. And how do you do that? Long, thin districts from the city of from the river running out to St. Charles County. That's how you do that. There's no interest in that community. There's no community of interest there. It's just bad.
Yeah,
bad.
But it's just not true. It's not going to dilute. Very in fact, true. It may expand minority inclusion.
So why is Lacey
Clay
against
it? Well, Vervis Jones is for it, and he's falsely accused me of being against it, which, you know, but there's lots of fake news that comes out of him. But, I mean, lots of African Americans support this. Now, I think it's interesting that every 10 years you Republicans act like you care about the minority population
in
this state.
In fact.
Because it serves your own interest.
Yeah.
And you want to help pack them into districts that are 90% Democratic performing. I get that. We can agree to disagree. I think we both believe that this initiative is going to pass. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, there is an opposition to it. I think Senator Jim Talent's kind of heading that up. I haven't seen any advertising yet. You know, it's not a simple story to tell. And the problem we have is that it's clothed in this, you know, ethics reform and blah,
yeah,
blah,
you all
blah,
have never done that before.
Blah, blah, blah. It's because we elect ethical people. And if you have ethical people serving
really,
you know,
after what I just did in the last hour talking about your president, you're going to sit there and do that with a straight face?
It's very straight. Very
Give
straight.
Me a break, John
very
Hancock.
Straight.
Let's talk about another rat bum operation. That'd be the NFL. Now, I was always taught growing up, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice.
The Green Bay Packers.
Shame on me. What happens when it comes to fool me a third time?
The immaculate reception. Franco Harris grabbing the ball on the 35-yard line, racing down the sideline. Touchdown, Steelers.
All right, what was that guy that did the NFL films? What was his name?
Yeah, he was from Pittsburgh.
He was from somewhere.
No, maybe he was from Philadelphia.
The
I know who you're talking about.
Oakland Raiders.
All right, well, tell us what's going on out in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles Chargers, who are playing their games in a soccer stadium these days, and they can't fill up the 20,000-seat soccer stadium, they're having a hard time making ends meet out there, Michael. They matriculated up from San Diego, where they had been since 1960. And this is their second season, I believe, as the Los Angeles Chargers. The money's not coming together. They're going to have to play their games in a stadium owned by our good friend Stan Kroenke. And word on the street is they're looking to move. And at least there's some that have posited that one of the places that the Chargers may find themselves is St. Louis, Missouri. Yes, the St. Louis Chargers could be coming here within the next few seasons. And I wonder if people would welcome the arrival of the Chargers, 436-7900, 1-800-925-1120, or whether we've had our fill of the NFL and we're done with it. Would you rather have the St. Louis Chargers, Philip Rivers at quarterback, or would you rather have an MLS franchise coming here?
We're going to have an MLS franchise.
Yeah.
I mean, thank goodness for the Taylors. They've stepped up.
You could have both,
and are going to bring it in. Yeah, they potentially could bring it in. Look, at the whatever Chargers they're going by now, Los Angeles, San Diego Chargers want to come to St. Louis, and they don't want a dime from us.
Oh, they want a new stadium, Michael. They're going to want a new stadium.
It ain't going to happen.
They're not going to play in the dome. They won't
ain't
be the greatest
gonna
show on turf.
Happen.
I don't know, man. I think it's probably not going to happen. But would I like to have an NFL franchise?
Well,
in
sure.
St. Louis?
I'd like to have NFL in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Hey, I fought hard to get the stadium for the Rams, and we exposed Stan Kroenke for his ways of knowing all along that he had a plan to take this team out of St. Louis.
He knew for a decade he was taking this team out of. You know what cost? You know what ultimately cost us the Rams? In my opinion, it was the death tax, the estate tax law in this country. Yeah, because what happened was when Georgia Frontier died, her descendants, the Rosenblum
kids couldn't afford the taxes.
So they couldn't have it both ways, and the value of the team was such that it was just going to sink them. So they ended up selling out their interest to Stan Kroenke, and you'll recall there was a brief moment in there where this guy Shad Khan, the Champaign or Illinois businessman,
who now owns the Jacksonville Jaguars.
He does. He owns the Jaguars. He's done a tremendous job with that franchise.
No, does he own the Jaguars or is he own Charlotte?
Okay, he owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. And he almost bought the franchise. He would have kept that team in St. Louis.
Oh,
Stan Kroenke never intended to keep the football team in St. Louis. And what's so infuriating is that they allowed season after season after season of disrepair, and they never fixed the offensive line, which you can't win football games. You don't have an offensive line.
He knew full well what he was doing.
He was going to put an inferior product on the field,
but
that was going to result in smaller attendance. And then he had a rationale.
His fellow owners helped in this.
Well, they did.
They knew what was up as well. So, like I said, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me the third time, no, it cannot happen.
So the San Diego Chargers, I guess what I'm hearing you say, Michael, if I'm hearing you correctly, is that you don't want to see the San Diego Chargers.
Well, hey, if they want to come here and play in our dome, we'd love to have them. If they're looking for, I mean, we just cannot trust the NFL. I mean, we're like a battered spouse if we're going to continue to deal with the NFL. These folks have treated us wrong time and time again. Why would we ever do anything with these NFL owners? These are not good people.
Yeah, well, amen. I think that's true for most of them. I don't know about all of them. Soccer, though, you're excited about.
I'm very excited about soccer. And look, you know, finally, somebody has stepped up. Thank you, Mr. Taylor and the Taylor family for what you're doing.
No kidding.
But, I mean, I believe the Super Bowls of the future are going to be soccer. That's how it is in the rest of the world right now. Listen to this. There's a team, and they have what's called relegation in soccer over in Europe.
Yeah.
There's a team that went from the minor leagues, call it AAA for baseball comparisons, up to the major leagues.
Yeah.
It's a $750 million increase in revenue from that for them. Soccer is the worldwide sport. It's what we're all playing. It's what the entire world's watching. All the kids are out here playing it right now. It's going to be bigger than the NFL.
How about that? He's Michael Kelly. Stick around. We've got the cut of the day coming your way. And we're back. And so it is political season, Michael.
Yes, sir.
People are out there doing their grassroots, going door to door, and putting in those yard signs.
The biggest waste of time and energy in political campaigns, yard signs.
You're not a fan of yard signs.
No, they don't vote.
I kind of like them. I let you know what your neighbors are thinking out there if you're putting them in the yard. And little fellow was going around with his Ted Cruz. Well, actually, he was going around pulling up Ted Cruz signs, and it is time now.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Yes, the cut of the day is sponsored by the Good Feet Store. Pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. Here's a confrontation that took place in the great state of Texas.
I'm just going to take them down. If you live here, if it's your property, that's the one.
That is my property.
It is your property?
Yes. Okay.
This is... Oh, that's your property too, though, huh?
That's my neighbor's property. He's a gun owner.
Oh, I'm a gun owner too.
I would watch. Be careful.
Okay. If you guys shoot me over that, that would be great. That would be really, like, you know, appropriate response. That would be.
You know, I have bought 100 of these. I'm about to put more out.
Cool. All right. Well, I'll feel better about them.
I hate Ted Cruz. I hate Ted Cruz. I hate Ted Cruz.
Wow. What a weirdo. That guy sounded like he flipped the lid. Was that Charlie Sheen?
Oh, he sounded like that guy in the movie over there, Klein.
Game of Thrones.
Listen, I don't like the use of the word hate when it's being used a lot, but I have no respect for Ted Cruz.
Listen,
the reason I have no respect for him is the president of the United States accused his father of killing President Kennedy. The president of the United States made fun of the appearance of Ted Cruz's wife. And Ted Cruz embraces this man, has him down there to Texas. You know what? I'm sorry. You can say, hey, I like his policies or whatever, but I would never be within 100 feet of the president if you said that about my father and my wife.
Well, that's an interesting point. I'll tell you what
I think. It's a sane point if you think about it. It kind of tells you what's really in this guy's fiber, that he's willing to look the other way when it comes to his father and his wife.
Well, Ted Cruz was not in my top 15 choices for president last time.
Where was Donald Trump?
He was not my top 16 choices. But, you know, he's still a good Republican.
He looks like the kid from the Munsters, Eddie Munster.
Eddie Munster.
You ever notice that?
I did not.
Google
notice
it.
That. I actually think Paul Ryan looks more like that kid. But anyway.
That's an excellent point,
too. Thank you. But, you know, what's really fascinating to me as it relates to this Texas Senate race, you guys fall in love, you Democrats.
Sure.
You just fall in love with these candidates.
Let me just tell you, Texas is about to fall blue here soon. It may not happen this election. It's coming.
It's not happening. So you got this guy, Beto, whatever his name is, O'Rourke. Good-looking young guy.
Very good-looking. Competent. Smart. Stands on principles.
The Democrats love this guy, man. They're throwing money at him. $38 million he raised in the last little bit. And he's going to lose. And he's going to lose not by a point or two. He's going to lose by 10 or more points, I think.
This is what I was saying about Donald Trump.
And absolutely, the Democrats have put all of these resources into this losing candidate when there are states that they're going to lose narrowly, such as, Missouri, where it could have made a difference. And I'm just telling you, thank goodness for this Beto O'Rourke guy. Making those targeting decisions, you and I both had to do it at running the parties. Those are critically important.
Yeah,
decisions.
But this is money that's coming in from around the country.
People understand.
Are excited. And people, I think, who look at Ted Cruz the same way I do and say, really? You'll look the other way when the man accused your father of killing the president and makes fun of the appearance of your wife and then you'll hug him? You'll be in the same room with them? What kind of human being is that?
They're going to have a rally. Donald Trump's going to be down there for a rally before the election.
I think you're almost soulless.
Ted Cruz.
If you'll look the other way.
Senator from Texas is going to get reelected. I think that's what we're talking
about. We got a whole nother hour taking you home, giving you traffic and weather together.
We do. Stick around. We'll get our next look at traffic in just a minute right here on KMOX.
hate the Cruz!
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.